If you got a Bible, flip to Mark chapter 10. I don't have a stand or anything to put this thing on today because I moved it down there and didn't think of it. So I'm just going to walk around with my bare toes sticking out at you. And we're going to have a conversation about the truth behind what we just celebrated. A service given that was not deserved. A service given from the creator of everything you can interact with to the Lord of Lords, to the one who is enthroned with pillars of fire and the glory of God, to the one who had absolutely no reason to come and give us anything if it were not for the fact that he is love and he is good. With that in mind, and thinking about the Lord's Supper and the gift that's given to us in understanding the beginning of that interaction where Jesus is washing feet, I want to bring you to a section of scripture in Mark chapter 10. And I want to tell you what's going on with it. There are two brothers whose mama wishes very well for them. Her intent is for their good. She comes and asks Jesus when he comes into his kingdom. So it's an act of faith before anything else. She acknowledges who he is. She acknowledges what he's capable of or what she believes he should be allowed to do, and then asks a question for her boys who are chasing after Jesus, have left everything else behind, and are now his disciples. He says, when you come into your kingdom, will my boys, please, will you let them sit on your right and your left? The thought behind this ask from mom is that anything Jesus could give them that would be to their good, whatever is best, being at the right hand, being at the mercy seat, being in a position of power and authority and grace under Christ, if there's any way to put her boys first, just bring them with you and make them first. I don't get the impression that it's a prideful or arrogant ask, more so that it's a loving question, a desire from a mother's heart to her children for them to have the best of whatever Jesus could offer them. The response from Jesus is polite, but it's direct. And it also comes with a little bit of a warning. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 35, James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, come up to Jesus saying to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want for me to do? They said to him, grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory. But Jesus says to them, you do not know what you are asking. So the boys are continuing in the thought that we would like to be, as you have maybe named us, the sons of thunder. We want to be on your right and your left for their sake. This is more than just a polite ask. This is more than just a wish from a mother to a child. This is a desire for them personally. And Jesus says to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized? Do you understand what you just did this morning? It's beautiful. I hope you do. Because they're asking for something that they don't have the authority to ask for something that the cost is too high for them to ask for. And Jesus has not been crucified, buried, and resurrected yet. But you have just done exactly what Jesus asked. Are you capable of drinking the same cup and being baptized in the same baptism? I don't know if you get the weight of the gift that God has given us in the Lord's Supper and in baptism, because what Jesus is telling these boys is you can't make payment for sin. You can't endure the wrath of God. You cannot be resurrected as Lord of Lords and govern everything because you are not God. The cost for you is too high. It's why I'm here. He said, could you possibly drink the cup that I drink? Could you have all the wrath of God poured out onto you? Do you understand that that cup that you symbolize during the Lord's Supper, that's what this is? You say, oh, I need to be washed by the blood. That blood holds all the wrath of God, the payment for sin. And you just celebrated it, which is good and right to do because you don't have to endure it anymore. You don't have to make an annual atonement. You don't have to endure the wrath of God. You don't have to see hell even though it wasn't designed for you. You don't have to experience the second death. You've come alive. You've been given grace. You've been given the blood of Christ. You have literally been baptized into Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection through the cup and through baptism. They arrogantly say to him in verse 39, we are able. And Jesus said to them, oh, you're gonna. But it's not necessarily in the same fashion that we get to, though. Let me read this out. You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized? They said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you shall drink. And you shall be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or my left is not mine to give. For it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Now listen, there are two ways to read this section of scripture. One of them is with a whole lot of sass. Could you possibly drink the cup that I drink and be baptized in my baptism? Like, yeah, we can do it. And he goes, well, you're gonna. If you know church history, these boys were martyred for their faith. So in that line, we could say, oh, yeah, they drank the cup. They got exactly what they asked for. They said, no, we can stand the heat. Turn up the Cajun kitchen. We like a little spice, Jesus. And he says, great, you're going to be murdered for your faith. Careful what you ask for. It could be delivered to you in that fashion. Or it could be delivered to you in the fashion in which Jesus is typically teaching these two boys, who repeatedly ask for more than they should and try to claim more than they should. Instead, what if it is, don't worry, boys, you're going to. You're going to drink the cup and you're going to be baptized. But what you're asking for me is not for me to give. It's for those who it's been prepared for. Meaning, you don't want what's coming for me. You don't want to happen to you the same thing that I have purposed that will happen to me. You don't want the Father's will for you to be the exact same as it is for me. Because what you'd be asking for is to spend some time in hell. What you'd be asking for is to be murdered for the sins of the entire world and to understand what the weight of that feels like. If you've ever felt just a little bit crushed about somebody being mean to you, imagine it 7 billion times for 6,000 to 8,000 years. And he says, you really want that? You don't know what you're asking. It's not for me to give it to you. Instead, it's for the one that God prepared it for. Not just sitting on his left and his right. Not just the 24 elders around the throne singing holy, holy with the angels and being given white robes. What's been given to him, he has taken from us. And he's saying, careful what you ask for. That service given to us, being prepared for Jesus, taking it away from us, and then delivering it to himself in grace should prepare us for what God calls our reasonable service. And I want you to think again. Before this happens, very near in history before this happens, like a night away. Jesus walks into the upper room, greets the fellas who are there with everything prepared for him. Knowing he's the Passover lamb, and they've prepared the elements, not quite making the connection just yet. And before they touch any of that, he literally cleans their feet as a servant. So I'm going to ask the question, and I'm going to sit down, and I made myself some notes this morning because, like I said, I got here earlier than I wanted to, and I wasn't planning on teaching on this part. So I want to ask some questions of you. With all of that in mind, who is it you debase yourself to in service? And you say, well, I don't have to debase myself to anybody. Well, amen, America. Yeah, let's get past that for just a second. I know we have rights. I know we have freedoms. But what you've been given in Christ is a real life, real freedom. And no servant is greater than their master. So why do we act like it? Is there a human being on the planet that you debase yourself for in service to? Or do you say, that's not my job. That's not my role. That's not what I signed up for. You don't treat me nice. I don't know you. Or even if I do know you, why are you treating me like this? Why? I don't know what your typical relationship platform looks like with your marriage, with your kids, with your coworkers, with strangers. You ever get annoyed when somebody walks in to a place like Walmart or Target in front of you and cuts you off to get the cart first? What difference does that make? It's not your cart. You ever get annoyed when somebody pulls into a parking spot before you, even though you've been waiting? What difference does that make? Do you pay rent on that spot? No. Do you get annoyed? And you don't have to tell me the answer to this. Sometimes I already know. Do you get annoyed if I sit in your seat at church? We live in such a mindset that is me first, we don't even realize it. And I need to say that again. We live with such a mindset that is me first. We don't even realize it. Why do I have to wash that plate? I'm not the one that used it. Why do I always have to be the one that starts the laundry? I don't in my house, by the way. I hate laundry. I don't mind washing the plate, but I hate laundry. In fact, I prefer washing the plates. I hate the dishwasher. Why do I have to take out the trash? Why do I have to go start the car when it's cold? Why do I have to take the dog out? Why do I have to change the cat's litter box? Why do I have to cook while you sit there and watch the game? Oh, yeah, I got somebody. I'd like to declare a couple of needs to you from our church to give you an opportunity to serve somebody else. And Jesus makes a couple of things perfectly clear. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you do it like a child. And if you have children or have had them, you know the older they get, the more the why me climbs. But the younger they are, it's not even a thought. Can you help mommy take out the trash? Oh, you're such a big boy. Thanks for taking out the trash with mommy. I mean, Michael doesn't whine about it now. I'm not picking on Michael, but you get to be 18. Well, I got to take out the trash. Like, I don't know, you freeloader, because you live here. The older we get, the worse that gets. Did you come to church this morning to serve someone else? Or do you expect everything to serve you while you're here? Because if you have not come to church looking to serve somebody else, you have probably wasted your time today. And that's not ugly. It's just scriptural. You should be in love with the thought of serving other people. And I preach into the choir, right? Some days it's a struggle for me, and I know some days it's a struggle for you. But service is a beautiful way to get beyond yourself and back into a mindset that belongs to the kingdom and not just to Chris or not just to your first name. Jesus served all of the boys, including the one that was getting ready to knife him in the back for 30 pieces of silver and a kiss. And he didn't miss a beat. He still washed him. He still treated him like the rest of them. Here's some opportunities for us. We're almost out of time this morning. It's not what I had planned. If you'd like a little bit more exposition, come back next week. If Jesus lets me, we'll be in chapter 3. We're getting into a section of life in this church, or the life of this church, where we need to expand our leadership platform. But if you're not interested in serving, you're wasting your time. In that leadership platform, we've asked a couple of guys from our congregation to consider praying over becoming an elder of our church. It's a calling, and it's not a temporary one either. It's lifelong. There will be an expectation of you until you die to serve well under Christ according to his purpose and will for you, that he has given you every piece you need to serve that piece of the body. But if you're not interested in serving others by debasing yourself, you cannot be used. It would just be self-serving. We've got a deacon body that needs to grow just a little bit to help us reach out to other families. And they're servants of the church. And every member is designed to serve each other in the mission work of the church, teaching Jesus to the ends of the earth, so that he is known and that we don't get in the way of any place he's trying to teach that. And so there are a couple of areas I'd like for you to consider. And again, like I wrote myself notes because my brain was going a mile a minute this morning. Here's one of them if you don't know, where's Jason? Jason, are you here this morning? I could have sworn I saw you. He is here. Great. Would you two stand up? Yeah. You and your spouse, just stand up real quick. If you don't know them, they're starting next week. They're relaunching the young adult class that I didn't do so hot with. So listen, young adults for us, like, what's the age bracket here? What are we aiming at? Somewhere older than a teenager in high school and somewhere younger than the rest of y'all's class. Let's just leave it there. Thank you. That starts next Sunday. So be in prayer for them as they try to help engage an area of our church that is growing beautifully. How about our school? You know, every time I do a tour for the school and I meet a brand new family, what I tell them? I tell them this school is a mission of the church. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not scolding you. This is an invitation. There aren't a whole lot of people from church serving in our school. There are some teachers, and you are serving. Don't mishear me in that either. I mean, I've got enough classrooms for all of you to be able to volunteer in. There's a lunchroom, and there's playgrounds, and there's arts and STEM projects and chapel every morning that I need a man of the church to come in and lead every Monday for 30 minutes. If we are to treat all of the families as a mission field here locally. And if you're wondering what our church does locally for missions, that's the largest piece, both on campus and financially. Come and serve them. Come and see me. They let me lead it. Like, so for this year, you want to come volunteer? I'm the only person you have to come ask. And I will gladly give you a place to literally debase yourself before children and dance and play and read scripture to and hug and watch so that you are also training them up in the way that they should go and partnering with their parents and helping them in their education as well as their character. I've got so many opportunities for that. There's no classroom that should not have a parent in it all the time or a church volunteer in it all the time. We got space and I got people. There are opportunities to teach. There are opportunities to connect with the women's and the men's group. There's so much need for us to push evangelism in our area. There's I-9 on a Saturday that you could come and spend an hour just handing out water and telling people about Jesus. You don't have to invite them to this church as long as they're hearing about Jesus. Here's the question. Oh, I didn't even get to this one. Where's David at? Stand up for me, buddy. Oh, yeah, I know. If you don't know, David's going to help with skate. You are helping with skate night, right? I'm not putting you on the spot. I think we agreed to this formally. Skate night is Friday, and there's games to run. There's snacks. There's skates to hand out. There's cleanup afterwards. There's sign in and sign out. It's another way we bond with the families and the community here so that you can go ahead and sit down. Thank you, buddy. We have real relationships. There are people that are a piece of what's going on in the background all the time, but those people need more people because more people are coming. It's a brilliant problem to have. We got the people, we've got the space, we've got the programs. You could come and help work in the kitchen. You could come and teach children during chapel. And listen, like, these are honest invitations. As a church campus, we need these things. Without that, I promise the same 6 people will be doing all the work. And that is not new to a church specific. That's just human nature. Do you have time? Could you make some? Would it alter your current schedule a little? Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I'm working on learning to alter mine. You can learn right along with me. Next week, we'll get back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And as a precursor, I'm going to talk about ladies not teaching before I start. Okay, come on, lighten up. It's going to be heavy enough. We'll get to it. I want to pray for our church as a single, unified body of believers. Because God is doing so many cool things here. I invited Kathy. Did Kathy make it this morning? Is Kathy here? Kathy Duncan? No, she did. That's okay. At some point, I want to introduce to you Kathy, who runs Crossroads. It's a outreach program that uses our campus. So much going on with their group, too. The opportunity to serve others should be our greatest joy in the week. Unfortunately for me, it is currently when I get to sit at home. But that's not necessarily healthy. Take your rest when Jesus gives it to you. Get to work every other day of the week. This is your Sabbath rest. Take some rest. This is great. But don't stay in your rest. You're not designed to live there. You're designed to live with real life and real connections. Before I pray, actually, you guys want to come up and talk? Where's your critter? Is Rose still downstairs? Danny, can you get Rose? Because those kids are going to sing in just a second, buddy. But I'm going to invite your family to come up. And I don't know. Maybe Kai will make it up here in time. It's probably not on. It's totally on. There you go.
Well, hi, church. For those who don't know us, I'm Jen. This is David. We have 2 sons, Marco and Kai. They attend school here at Crossroads Christian Academy. We first had them in the school before God called us to become members of the church here. And this week at VBS, I got to volunteer 2 different days, and I saw all the wonderful things that were happening. And there was all this rich teaching about the kingdom of God as contrasted from the kingdom of darkness. And so Thursday night, Kai's laying in bed. I'm trying to hurry him off to sleep because you know how 6-year-olds are. And as he's laying there, he kind of opens his eyes and he says, "Mommy, I don't want to sin anymore. I want to do what's right." And I knew that was the overflow of the teaching they had been hearing at VBS. And, you know, I believe as parents, it's primarily our responsibility to lead our kids spiritually. However, it takes a village. And so I realized in that moment, it wasn't time to hurry him off to sleep. I didn't want to speed past that because he's saying this of his own will, telling me what he wants to do. So we talked. I made sure he really understood what was going on, what it meant to be a sinner, what how sin separates us from God. He had understanding of all the things, and I asked if he wanted to pray to receive Jesus. He threw his arms around me and said yes. I got to walk him through that prayer. So I'm saying all this to say, number one, we're celebrating that our son has become a Christian, and this is now his first week walking in that new life. But I'm also saying this to say, this has been such an amazing village to us and our time here so far. If you don't know that, there's a village of people here wanting to come alongside you and help you raise your kids in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, as well as encourage you. So we just wanted to express our gratitude. And I asked Chris if I could say this publicly, because I just feel so passionately to stand with this church, with the school, to show our full support. We've been so grateful that God called us here. It's been so abundantly clear why he called us here. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron, and thank you everyone who has lovingly embraced us. And now we get to see much fruit as the result of that. So we love you guys.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah, get it, buddy. So all of these guys are getting ready to do some worship music together, and I'm super excited. It is easily my favorite song, and I think a lot of their favorite songs. It may even be Amber and Sam's favorite song. Come on up, ladies. Yeah, get on up there. So Amber and Sam were leading the worship time for VBS. There were a ton of volunteers for VBS. You guys are up. If you volunteered for VBS this week, will you please stand up? So we can just praise God for you guys being here. Thank you. Where's Sky? Come up here, buddy. We're not loafing this time. This time you have to turn around and face everybody. This is their son that they were just talking about. Your mama was just telling the rest of the church that you became a Christian this week. And we're super excited about that. So I'm going to pray for us as a whole. I'm going to pray for our fellowship meal afterwards. If you didn't know, it's a potluck Sunday, and you guys can come and hang out afterwards. And I'm going to pray for Kai. And then all of these littles are going to get up there and sing a worship song from VBS together, and then we'll be dismissed to go downstairs and eat. You ready? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for all of the volunteers and all of the giving from the church that makes purchasing VBS things possible. Thank you for their heart of service. Thank you for the message that was taught. Thank you for the people that helped write the material that we used for the week. Thank you that we get to celebrate and dance and have joy in your presence as the rest of the angels did when Kai accepted Christ. We celebrate you this morning as we continue to sing in praise, and we praise you for all of the gifts of the yummy food that we will eat afterwards downstairs. In Jesus' name, amen.